My name is Josh Long. Thanks so much for being here. I'm a Spring Developer Advocate, Kotlin GDE, Java Champion. I'm on the Twitters. I'm on email. So should you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me. My direct messages are wide open. Of course, I'm happy to answer questions on email. There's my code if you want to follow along and play the home game, but not now, of course. Definitely not now. Pay attention. It's only 20 minutes. We'll get through this. And then if you have questions on the code, of course, don't hesitate to reach out to me. So I used to travel. That was a thing as part of what I do. I also do training videos and books, and I have a podcast called The Bootiful Podcast, and every Tuesday, that's today for those of you not keeping track, I do a blog on this week on spring.io. called This Week in Spring. I do a screencast every Wednesday where I look at all sorts of different aspects of the ecosystem. It's called Spring Tips. And I have a new book I just published called Reactive Spring. It's not early access anymore, it's actually GA. And I love Microsoft Azure, and I've been pleased to be able to work with the Microsoft and Azure teams for, what is it now, 5 years now, Asir, just a long, wonderful relationship. And over that time, we've seen an incredible sort of outpouring of interest and growth in the in Microsoft Azure, and of course people are wanting to use that as their platform of choice for their Spring-based workloads. So I've been very excited to be a part of that journey. Now, we don't have a lot of time, like I say, so we need to go quickly. We have now about 18 minutes. That's not a lot of time. That's not even enough time to like make a baked Alaska, to do a full like cleaning of laundry. It's just not enough time to do anything. So the question is, can I build an application that talks to world-class, global-scale, leading databases that integrates with one of the best message broker technologies on the planet, and perhaps does more, and then deploy that to a production environment in less than 18 minutes? And I think we should try and find out. And in order to do that, we're going to begin our journey to production, of course, by going to my second favorite place on the internet. Obviously, my first favorite place on the internet is production, but my second favorite place after production is start.spring.io. So if you haven't already gotten to production, you can begin your journey here at start.spring.io. And the idea is that we're going to build a new application taking advantage of all the good stuff that Spring Boot and Microsoft Azure offer us. Now, what I want to do is I want to build a new service that uses, let's say, Java. I like Java. I'm going to use the latest 2.2 versions of Spring Boot. The 2.3 stuff is good, but some of it doesn't work yet, so it's okay. It's not that new. It's not that like old, you know. And we're going to use a few different dependencies here. So we're going to bring in the JDBC support. We're going to bring in MongoDB support, not Reactive. We just want regular. You can use Reactive, but I'm not using that. We're going to bring in Microsoft SQL Server. We're going to bring in the Azure storage support. We're going to bring in... What else do we want? What else do we need? That's the question, my friends. I think we've got everything, right? I've got JDBC, I've got MongoDB, I've got, do I have web support? Let's bring in that. We want web support. And do we have Spring Cloud Stream? Here we go, good, got that. So we have now a number of different dependencies, Cloud Stream, web, Azure Storage, JDBC, Microsoft SQL. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with what that gives me. I'm going to build a new service, and we're going to give it a name that will be, you know, it'll kind of line up with the name that we're going to use later when we deploy the application. And so for our purposes, let's just call it greeting service, okay? Greeting service, whatever. Or actually, you know what? Bootiful Azure, that's the title after all, so we can do that. I'll have to remember to change my build later for that. You can use Java 11 or Java 8, both of which are fine choices. These are current like supported versions, right, on Azure Spring Cloud. Java 8 is what I think a lot of people are using, so we might use that, no problem. But Java 11 is certainly supported as well. And with that, we have now the basics for our application. Let's hit Generate. And what we're going to do is we're going to open this up in our IDE. And again, it doesn't all much matter what IDE you use, so long as it supports the version of Java and or Maven that we have specified. Or Gradle. So I'm using IntelliJ, but Visual Studio Code, of course, works just great. Indeed, the support for Spring Boot applications in Visual Studio Code was developed by the Spring team. So you know it works very well because it's designed by people who care about making it just perfect, right? So now we have our IDE open here, and what we're going to do is we're going to build a new application, but we have a few things we need to add to the build that weren't there on the initializer because they're not yet 100% GA, or they're not yet incorporated in part of the release train. So the first thing that I want to incorporate is the Azure Spring Cloud, the Azure Service Bus dependency. So I'm going to bring in a dependency here that we can use to talk to the Service Bus in terms of the Spring Cloud Stream abstraction, right? So we're going to say... copy this. There we go. Copy. Okay, paste. Go Mac. Okay, good stuff. So there's that, right? So there's Microsoft Azure's Spring Cloud Service Bus, Spring Cloud Azure Service Bus Queue Stream Binder. Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. The next thing that we need, of course, is some configuration. I'm going to just get all the configuration in place right now, but we'll revisit it as we need it in just a second. Okay, so I'm going to go back to Application Properties. And when I say configuration, I mean connection strings, things like that that we need to be able to talk to our services in the platform, but which I don't want to have to manually type out because, like I said, we're a little bit under the gun here, my friends. So what you see here are configuration values. These are just regular Spring Cloud and Spring Boot configuration values. You notice that I'm deferring to environment variables. I've got those running in my local machine, and I've got those environment variables in the platform as well. Obviously, you should be using something like Azure's Vault, or you can use the Spring Cloud Config Server, or even just there's just a number of ways to make this more elegant than what I'm doing here. But for now, it'll get the job done. So what we want to do is we want to build an application that talks to these different sources, these different pieces of infrastructure. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk to Microsoft SQL Server. Now, Microsoft SQL Server is what's called Azure SQL, right, on the platform. And it's awesome. It's one of my, I got to tell you, one of the things that I most loved when I first started playing with Azure is world-class infrastructure, right? I mean, Azure is SQL Server is one of those things where if you've been in IT for the last 30 years or 25 years at least, you've probably used it in an organization. It's such a widely deployed, widely understood, well-known piece of infrastructure. It's obviously enterprise ready to the ninth degree, right? It's just amazing software. So I was just very excited to have the best of both worlds. I get this incredible piece of infrastructure that I don't have to manage, right? That's the important bit. It doesn't matter who manages it, as long as it's not me. If it's Microsoft, who of course develop SQL Server, then all the better. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an application that talks to my SQL Server instance on the data and the platform, and I'm going to use a DTO here called a customer, and the customer is going to have an integer ID, right? So integer ID, and it's going to have a name field. Now, this is just I'm using Lumbuck, and the Lumbuck compile time annotations, they have the benefit of making it so that I can type customer, new customer, blah, 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 and I get constructors. You see that? I don't have to define the constructor explicitly. So that's done for me. And now what I want to do is I want to create a simple HTTP endpoint that'll just, I'm going to blend some of the layers here for want of time, but I'm going to show that the data is successfully being returned from my JDBC data source, my Microsoft SQL data source. Now, of course, I could also use, the reactive Microsoft SQL Server support with RTBC, which is also an option, right? In the Spring ecosystem, we support reactive API. So I've just injected this into the constructor. Spring Boot is going to configure this template for me. It's a reference to a collaborating object that in turn has a live reference to a data source, which right now is the SQL Server instance on the platform. And with that, I can create an endpoint just called customers. Now, customers, okay. So, and all I'm going to do is I'm going to return I'm going to return a collection of customer data, right? So customer data. Now, I've already pre-filled this table with the data in the platform. I didn't want to write SQL statements here with y'all today, but I'm going to do some of that, actually. I'll do a small query here. Select, we're going to say query, and we'll do select all from customers. And my job is to take each result set that comes back and each index and turn it into a new customer object. So a new customer, and it'll be result set dot get int ID, right? And result set dot get string name, okay? And that's the mapper. All I'm doing is I'm mapping the data. And the result is that when I return from this method, I actually have a collection of customers. So that's one endpoint, right? That's SQL Server. I love SQL Server. But you didn't come here just to learn about Microsoft SQL Server. You could have, albeit at slightly more operational cost, run that in your own local environment, in your own local machine. That's not why I think people are most excited about the public infrastructure opportunities like Microsoft Azure. For me, it's the ability to take advantage of global class, world class, world leading, global leading technology infrastructure that just couldn't be done on a sort of micro level. It has to be done and considered at the architectural level, at the macro scale, right? And so for things like that, we have one of my all-time favorite you know, databases, and I hesitate to give it the moniker NoSQL or SQL because it's everything, right? It's called Cosmos DB. And so Cosmos DB is a multi-model platform. It supports graph database interactions using something like Gremlin. It supports document database access through MongoDB. It supports key value store access through like the Redis API. You can use and also it supports a SQL dialect as well. So it's incredible. It has incredible SLAs across more availability zones than I think almost any other platform. So it's just amazing, right? Just an absolutely amazing piece of technology. I'm using MongoDB. You notice I didn't add anything in particular to talk to Cosmos DB because it has such good support for acting like some other piece of infrastructure. So you can write code that takes advantage of this world-class platform without being coupled to the API if you're so so hesitant, right? So here, I'm going to build a Spring Data MongoDB. Now, in the last one, for SQL Server, I used a lower-level API. I used SQL directly. And you can use Spring Data JPA or Spring Data JDBC, but I wanted to show that it's just regular SQL. But in this case, I'm going to use an API that allows me to just get declarative ORM mapping, right, for free. All I got to do is just use the source, okay? So there's my entity. I'm going to describe it as such. I'll say this is an entity with getters and setters and toString and whatever. It's going to have a constructor, and more importantly, it's a document. I'm going to map this to a MongoDB kind of document. This is actually the terminology that they use in Azure Cosmos DB as well. A document, you have containers and you have items in those containers, right? So this is a collection. And what I want to do is I want to create a data access tier that talks to that. So I'll say interface reservation repository, okay? Extends CRUD repository. And this is going to handle just the data access, right? Just reading, writing, the soul annihilatingly boring data access logic that so burdens people. Not the stuff you should write yourself, not the stuff you should do yourself if you can avoid it. Just the stuff that nobody's ever going to come to you late on a Friday night and put their hands on your shoulder and say, great job. Well done, really. Way to write the best select all from foo query, right? Nobody cares. This is a thing that zero people care about. So our goal as engineers is to get to production faster and to avoid wasting time on this kind of stuff. And that's what Spring Data allows you to do, is to waste less time. So we have our constructor here, and I'm going to create another endpoint. And this time, I'm not going to return the customers. I'm going to return reservations. But this time, keep in mind, I'm talking to Azure Cosmos DB. I'm not talking to my SQL Server instance on Azure, okay? So I'm just going to say, hey, repository, give me all the data. And notice I didn't have to do anything there. There's no queries. It just works, right? So that's convenient. Now, I'm building an application that talks to a database. I like databases. But of course, databases are something I have access to. A lot of times when you want systems to talk to each other, you need to make them aware of each other, so they need to communicate. And you don't want to just say, here's my credentials to my database, have at it, right? That's not going to work. That's a terrible way to integrate systems. And so what I instead prefer to do is to integrate messaging, right? Now, messaging with Azure Service Bus, messaging is one of those things where there are a lot of use cases, and I'm not here to prescribe any one particular use case. Quite the contrary. In fact, I think you should use whatever you care about. I would refer you to this amazing blog by Martin Fowler called What Do You Mean by Event Driven, in which he talks about four different, it's creakingly old, by the way, look at that, 7/2017, creakingly old, ancient blog, but nonetheless, he talks about four different types of uses for messaging, including event notification, where you notify systems of a change, but not the change itself. You have event-carried state transfer, where you actually send the state that has been changed. That is to say, you say, here is a change, as well as the fact of the change. And then you have event sourcing, where you say, here is a change, and that change has been added to a stack that I can then replay. I can start from the bottom and replay to get the world state, the state of the universe. And then, of course, we get CQRS, which is not, strictly speaking, a messaging pattern, but it does work best with things like event sourcing and messaging. And in CQRS, you say, I understand that my system, in order to do its best job at scaling, needs to have independent readers and writers. These architectures all depend on messaging. And what better way to integrate messaging than to use Service Bus? Now, Azure Service Bus is one of these incredible pieces of infrastructure that was developed by people that care about integration. So naturally, it's a multi-protocol, multi-technology option. You don't have to use one particular API. So at some point, hopefully, you'll see the JMS API. But what I'm going to show you is the Spring Cloud Service Bus. and now Spring Cloud, Spring Cloud Stream Binder for Azure Service Bus. And now Spring Cloud Stream is an abstraction that lets you write messaging code without being too coupled to the underlying API, right? So I'm going to say that I'm going to enable this binding. It's going to have a it's going to be a source, that is to say, it's going to produce messages, and it's going to be a sync, that is to say, it's going to accept messages. So I'm going to basically write a little bit of code, a little bit of a silly example here, because I'm actually publishing a message and then having the message go to the platform and then come right back around to my same application. But you could imagine that you would have one node with just this and another node, another JVM with just that, right? They wouldn't be in the same virtual machine unless you really wanted to make the round trip, I guess. And so what we're going to do is we're going to inject the source here, which is what we're going to use to be able to make calls to send off a request in the platform. And we're going to also keep track of messages that we've observed. So I'm going to just keep a little in-memory thing here. Obviously, you shouldn't do this. This is a terrible idea for a real application. But you'll see, it's just a way to prove that what we think is happening is actually happening. Okay, and that's important. Today, it's all about, I'm all about checking that what we think is happening is actually happening, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an endpoint that gives me the ability to fire off a message. I'm doing, this is not RESTful, it's not even good HTTP, but it's just a way of me being able to invoke a pipeline or to be able to kick off a message into the pipeline. So when somebody invokes HTTP GET to /send, I'm going to create a message using the message builder. And in this with this message builder, I'll say, hello, learn TV. And I'll give it a timestamp so we know when it happened. So instant, javatime.instant. And that's the message. I'm going to say build, and I'll store this in a message. And now I want to send that out. So I'll say source. I'll say source.output.send. Build. I'm just sending that message. Now, what I want is for something to then consume the message, right? And so again, this is it's going to go round trip through the platform, and I'm going to have a stream listener here. It's a thing that's going to respond to the incoming messages as they arrive. So stream listener, this is from Spring Cloud Stream, and I'm saying when the message arrives on the input channel, then accept new message, and I could either accept a message of message, right, like an envelope object, or I could just say string because that's the payload, right? In this case, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't matter, right? So messages dot add message dot get payload, which is a string. You can see that there are also headers there. That's convenient. And then finally, I want to have an endpoint where I just make available those messages so that we can inspect them, so we can scrutinize them to see what has happened. So I'm going to say, give me all the messages, please. And I'll just return this dot messages dot that's it. I just want to return the view of the data. Okay, so now we've got our Azure Spring, we've got our Spring Cloud Stream binder for Service Bus. And then finally, you know what? It wouldn't be a successful presentation without a cat picture. So we have the storage, the Azure storage object service, you know, object storage service. So what I want to do is I'm going to take advantage of that as well. Great opportunity here to have cat pictures in your presentations, and also for, you know, infinitely scalable persistence of binary data in an application. And so I'm just going to create a little thing that when the application starts up, it's going to upload a cat picture to the platform, right? So cat demo. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take advantage of a cat image. My cat image is going to be on the class path. So we'll say class path cat.jpg. I don't have that just yet. I'll put it there in a second. I'm going to use a resource to get the bytes. And then we're going to use a pre-configured container URL. This is an Azure storage blob thing that Spring Boot will automatically configure because of the auto configuration that was developed by the team. And so this now I can then reference. I can say, okay, I want to get the bytes from that resource. So the first order of business is resource.getInputStream. And with that input stream, I want to turn it into bytes. So I'll say file copyUtils.copyTo byte array input stream, here's this, and I'll get the bytes, and then with the bytes, I want to now send it to the platform. So I'll say container URL, and I'm going to say create a block blob URL. Now, block blobs are a kind of thing, a kind of container, and so I'm going to say hello Azure cat.jpg. It's a kind of a container that you can use, and then I'm going to upload the data. So I'm going to say flowable, this is a reactive type, and then I'm going to pass in a byte buffer dot wrap, and the bytes are going to be the actual byte that we just extracted up from that image. And then of course I need to send in the length of the byte, so bytes.length, and then null. Now, I don't know, let me see, there we go. So that's it, and then I'm gonna say block and get, that way it actually forces the whole thing to execute. That gives me a block blob upload response. I don't know what exactly a block blob is. I've never heard of such a thing, but I do like it. So I found myself, I went on the internet and I tried to find the best block blob cat I could find, and this is as close as I could get. This is a block blob cat, round block blob, but it's a blob. So I'm gonna take that cat and I'm gonna put it in my my resources. So we'll go here, copy desktop cat to source main resources, cat.jpg, right? Okay, now there, that means that the application is running. So now in theory, I should be able to run the whole thing, right, on my local machine. And keep in mind, I've got configuration here. I've got the Azure Service Bus connection string environment variable. I've got the Azure Object Storage telling me that I've got this container called cats in the platform, no problem. I've got my regular Spring data source configuration because it is just another JDBC data source for SQL Server. Ditto for MongoDB, nothing special here, just a URL, just as you would do for any MongoDB instance. So I have all that there. Now, let's run this and just make sure that everything works locally, and then we'll deploy it to the platform. In the meantime, as that kicks off and compiles, because that's the main issue these days, is waiting for compilation, I'm going to drink some coffee. Oh, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. Now, what I have here is an application that's up and running. Looks happy. Let's see if we go to here. First of all, beautiful storage. Right, and we go down to containers, cats, okay. Hello Azure Cat, 9:15, 10:30. That looks right. Okay, looks like it worked. Good. Download this. Groovy. That seems to be working. Okay. What about the APIs? What about everything else? So we should be able to go to localhost 8080 /customers. Okay. All right. There we go. There's my customer data, right? And then what about reservations? There's the reservation data. So that's clearly working. So we've got now all of that. What about sending messages? If I over here, localhost messages, right? Nothing in the collection just yet. So I hit send. Okay. Go back over here. Oops. Did I forget something? Oh, where did it go? Let's see, did I forget something in the service bus demo? Service bus, I'm missing something obvious here. Hello, stream.input, stream listener, got it. Messages, well, that's awkward. Yeah, I did something wrong. Spring Cloud Stream, REST controller, it doesn't all that much matter, friends. The point is, that's all there. I'm satisfied that you'll be able to figure it out if you look at the code. We don't have enough time for that. The last thing that we have to worry about is deploying it. Now we have to deploy this to production, and that is actually the easiest part, which is why I saved that for last. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Azure Spring Cloud to build the application and see it deployed into production. Now I need to do a build, so I'll say skip test, you know, hashtag YOLO, right? Am I right? Uh-huh. Okay, so clean package. And then wait for the compilation to finish. And now the command to run to deploy it is fairly straightforward. So what I'm doing is I'm saying Azure Spring Cloud app deploy greeting service. That's the name of a logical app that I've configured on the Azure Spring Cloud instance. I'm giving it the path to the jar path. So do I have that jar? That's the question here. So target greetings. Oh, I called it bootiful Azure, didn't I? So there's the path. That's the new path that we need instead. So we'll say copy. And we'll say Azure Spring Cloud app deploy minus N greeting service jar path target okay, TAR. You need to spell it correctly, or I guarantee you, you won't get nearly so far as you'd like. And then I think that's it. Yeah, that looks like the gist of it. So hit go, and that'll take a few minutes. Resource group, oh, you need to specify a resource group. So that is over here in the platform, somewhere, I hope. There we go. Home Resource Group. Bootiful Resource Group. That's it right there. Bootiful Resource Group. You can see I'm imaginative in my naming. Bootiful Resource Group. And that'll get that'll deploy about a minute and a half. App was not found. Goodness. Bootiful Azure. What have I done wrong? Apps. Wait for it. Give it a second. Bootiful Service. That's what I called it. Okay, good. So, Bootiful Service. Now, this service, by the by, has already been pre-configured. It's got all the environment variables and all that stuff. I've already configured it to use the latest and greatest version of Java, I'm pretty sure, and all that stuff, right? So if I look here in the configuration, you can see it's already got those environment variables. They're hidden for security for obvious reasons, but they're there. And I have no app instances at the moment, right? If I go to the overview, oh, I do have two app instances. I give it a URL, right? And this is gonna take the binary, it's gonna upload it, and and hopefully in just no time at all, we'll see that here, and we'll be able to go to this endpoint URL, right? And we'll see that running in production. But it does take a minute or so. So if there are questions, I'm happy to take them in the interim. And in the meantime, I hope you'll consider looking at Azure Spring Cloud. I hope you look at the Spring integrations for Microsoft Azure. There are some incredible opportunities here. I've had the privilege of working with the various teams that have been working on these various Spring Boot starters. And they're not like kidding. They're really, really amazing. I have been just humbled by the dedication, by the sort of relentless focus on quality and on liveliness and responsiveness for the services and for the infrastructure and for API updates, and just amazing, just absolutely amazing experience. At the end of the day, technologies come and go, but what matters are, in my my opinion, the people, right? I care a lot about the people working on the technology. I care about whether they're going to be there if I'm in a foxhole in production and something's wrong. I know that with this platform, I can count on support. I know that they care about me getting to production. And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. I'll let this go. If you want to ask questions or if you want to take over, I'm happy with that. Thank you so much, everybody, for your time. And I hope you got something out of it.